any crown, for he is king of all. Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From our second reading, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In too many ways, the Holy Trinity, the only true God, gets bad press. Too many view the Trinity as dull doctrine or dogma, unnecessary formulation. This is hogwash. When I fell in love with my wife, Tracy, all I wanted to do was to know more about her, not less, but more. The Holy Trinity is about getting to know God more and better than ever before. It's not just doctrine. God loves you. And because he loves you, he wants you to truly be able to know him. So what has he done? He has chosen to show himself to you, not less, but more. For this reason, the Holy Trinity, my brothers and sisters, is anything but dull. It's God's way of saying that he wants to convey his saving love to you with wondrous self-disclosure. To know God this way is to rest secure in his love and mercy, because we see how he reveals himself as our Father, as our Savior, and as our Sanctifier who brings us to Jesus. But the Bible doesn't teach the Trinity. That's a common objection. It's true that the word Trinity is not actually in the Bible, but the word accurately teaches, presents what the Bible teaches about God. It's a handle, so to speak, that's showing what is already in Scripture in longer form. Others resist God lovingly making himself known to us as Holy Trinity by complaining that the teaching of the Trinity is nonsensical. What is this three-in-one nonsense? This, of course, is an ignorant complaint. Three-in-one does not violate, for example, the law of identity. A equals A, not non-A. But rather reminds us that the numbers three and one do not refer to the same categories in application to God. There are three persons in one essence or substance. Nothing wrong with that. We find examples of similar equations all the time in life. 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Each number is actually distinct, and most importantly, the three factors are always factors, while the one product is always product. And yet, each factor is equal to the product in value. Such organization is even true of you. You, dear brother and sister in Christ, actually have a heart. You have your own volition. You have a soul. You have your commitment and yearning, your place in life. You have a mind. You have a place and locale of thought. But these facts about you do not mean that there are three of you. The three persons in God who always are three persons, and they reveal who God is. The one substance is always one in perfect unity and reveals what God is. The who of God, the what of God, coming together to reveal the one God. Fair enough. But as valuable as the doctrinal review might be, we cannot leave our consideration of the Holy Trinity to such analysis. If we're not careful, we can forget about what's really important to know about the Holy Trinity. This is why we need the book of Acts to remind us that there's nothing like a great text about Jesus to teach us about why the Holy Trinity is so important. Indeed, the great creeds of the church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds, combine Trinitarian theology with Christology. The two must go together. God is our Heavenly Father, and how we need to know God as our true Father, who loves us as His true children. But how do we reach Him? Not even King David could ascend into heaven in a way that could secure for us a place safe from sin and death. So where the Holy Trinity really becomes meaningful, it's when we see that God Himself has made Himself reachable to us. He is the one we need to reach to find relief from our despair in life. He is also the one who makes a way for us to connect. And we need to connect. In our humanity, in our relationships, we yearn for transparency, for communication, for genuine intimacy. We want to share our hearts with other people. We want to be known without being condemned. We want to be trusted, and we want to be able to trust. We want to share our thoughts and still be loved at the end of the day. We long for these things. How easy it is for us to know these things in our minds. But when we try so often to make our relationships better, we oftentimes only see our inability, and we get frustrated. So we groan with St. Paul, and we cry out, "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is that which I keep on doing." When we feel this way, not only do we not connect with those important relationships in our life, but we can push them away and make the distance even greater. So why should we be surprised if this is what we do with our great God? We even push Him away. So again, this leads us to why we need the Holy Trinity. God found a way to enter into our lives, not to wait for us to reach Him, but for Him to reach us. This is the deep and profound mystery. God is by nature eternal. If God is God, He never ceases being God. The Lord Jesus is clearly identified in the Holy Scriptures as true God, and true God never ceases being true God. And yet at the same time, He became like you. He became one of us. God became attached to you and me. We didn't have to wait to find a way to get close because He came and got close to you. God got Himself enfleshed as your brother. When God works in relation to His creation, the Scriptures describe this economic approach to the Holy Trinity in terms of certain prepositions used in our language. We describe our relationship to the Heavenly Father with words like from and to. We describe our relationship with the Son with a great word, through. And with the Holy Spirit with words like in and by. These teach us a lot. All of a sudden, we aren't talking theory, but the ability to really connect to God. So for example, we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. And now we're talking about a relationship we can relate to. God is not far away. But notice the central place of the Son. He is the through person of the Holy Trinity. That's a great word, through. A wonderful preposition. Think of it this way. Sometimes couples will get counseling. With a good counselor or a good mediator to help a couple work through their issues, some people will testify that certain counselors were used to literally save their marriage. These couples received through help. Well, Jesus is our through mediator. While there are both good and bad, effective and ineffective human counselors, when it comes to Jesus Christ, we have the perfect through counselor and mediator. This one ascends to heaven for us, to make a way for us. And this is why He is proclaimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. This is why he is also revealed to be the great I Am, the one who is God, who comes to us to bring us back to God. This counselor has total ability to get it right in his counseling, his mediating, and through his through ministry to us. He does get it right. He has. And to assure us of the Savior, the Lord records in Acts chapter 2 that God himself, the Lord, said to David's Lord, also God himself, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Fantastic words. This means that God the Father, who sent the Son to connect you and me, exalted the Son with all power and authority, now also in accord with his human nature that he shares with us, as if to say, "I now affirm that as the one connected to these my children, you, Son, have conquered their enemies. You have conquered their sin, their death, their fear and despair. You have conquered their hopelessness. You have put your foot on the neck of whatever threatens them. And you, my Son, have been victorious. So now, while you have always been the glorious Son from eternity, according to the divine nature, you are now, through your death and resurrection for these my people, also glorified as both Lord and Christ, with all power and authority, not only as true God, who has always had that power and authority, but now also as true man, who has bought them back to me." So the Father exalts the Son, whose blood covers your sin, and has put the crucified one at his right hand, the God-man Jesus, who connected us, and properly speaking, also present tense, connects us. We also confess the Holy Trinity, not only in an economic sense in terms of God's relationship with the world, but also in an ontological sense in terms of God's relationship within himself. The Father is uncreated and unbegotten. The Son is uncreated but begotten. And the Holy Spirit is unbegotten and uncreated but proceeding. And it is Jesus as well as the Father who has therefore sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit also mediates and counsels to keep you forever with Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here this morning. The Father loved you and loves you by sending the Son to connect you to God. The Son and the Father have sent the Holy Spirit to give you connections to the connector, to give you through gifts to the through Savior. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has given you, Christian, the connectors of word and sacrament so that you are united to Jesus in holy baptism, so that you receive Jesus in holy communion. And through this reception of Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives faith over despair, the knowledge that you are loved and adored over hopelessness, the guarantee that the Father will not forsake you, but that he will and does love you with an everlasting love. This is your relationship with the true God. This is your relationship with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are connected to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And to be connected to God is to have hope and the help of the Almighty God. The face of anything and the face of everything that threatens you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with you to keep you in the palm of his hand. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for the offertory.